We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org, bedrinkaware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast, and Newcastle have beaten Burnley by 4-1 to continue the surge on Europe. We're playing around with describing words or verbs here to what we're doing to Europe. We're advancing on, we're marching on, we're surging onto Europe.
All true.
And we are here to talk about it. I'm Charlotte. I'm joined by Si, John and Kyle today to get into it. What went right? Everything. Before we do that, quick reminder from me. We are doing a live show at the Stand at the end of to celebrate the end of the season on Monday, the 20th of May, with Keith Downey, Craig Hope, Luke Edwards, Mark Douglas, and of course me and Alex. We are tickets are on sale now, link in the description to this podcast if you would like to get one. Please do join us. They're always brilliant nights. And with another win under our belt, it should be a really, really positive end of season review. We're really looking forward to it. All right, we'll get into it, shall we? Let's do it. We dominated away for once in a while. Lots of things changed, formation changed. Tactically, we got it right. Team selection, Si, how are you feeling?
Very positive, very positive. If there's one thing, off the last few weeks, we've been talking about sixth place being ours for the taking. We needed to sort out our away form and pick up some points away from home. We've done that spectacularly yesterday. So massively relieved. I'm now very, very confident that we can hang on to the sixth place. I think Man United probably dropped points on Monday at Palace. We did. And then we're in pole position. So yes, 100% pleased with that. Absolutely buzzing with the kind of... going back to basics, you know, 4-4 fucking 2. We're just going to play really simple, like effective football. And it was so good to watch because we had that usual kind of start of game. It wasn't even a wobble this week. They had one or two chances. They had that ball over the top that I think was offside anyway. And then, we were giving the ball away a little bit, but that lull only lasted about 15 minutes this week. So we're getting better. And then after 15 minutes, you know, from 15 to 75, we were just such a dominant team. Right to the end of the game, to be honest. We took our foot off the pedal for the last 20, but honestly, it just felt we were so in control from 15 to finish. And to be honest, even that 15 was, you know, we're against another relegation candidate who came out and gave it a bit of a go, and that lasted 15 minutes, which is a credit to us. And yeah, I think we were as good away from home as we've been all season, which is really promising because we have two more of these away games to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Did give it a bit of a go for that first 15, and it was a bit shaky, like, oh God, are we going to get into this? Is this just going to be our normal away form? But we grew into the game, and they just totally collapsed, didn't they? The moment we got first goal, they couldn't handle it, John.
Yeah, I think Eddie Howe smelled blood before the game. I really do. I think he really showed his ruthless side. Went 4-4-2, very attacking lineup. And I think if you know anything about Burnley this year, they've conceded a shit ton of goals. Now, not as many as Sheffield United, fair enough. But It was clear that that's where the options were going to be. The way that Burnley play, they're quite expansive. There was going to be space in behind. So to play Wilson and Isak up top, and, you know, Hall and Livramento as you know, fullbacks. I mean, it was just fantastic to see. And ultimately, we got the results that we should have got. As soon as the first goal went in, I don't think the result was massively in doubt. We pretty much dominated the game from Wilson's goal. And I think the other thing is, if you think back to last week, kind of where we were against Sheffield United, I think they kind of learned that, look, they might have a bit of a spell where they're going for it. And we didn't handle that well at St James's Park, but we handled it well yesterday. We just saw it out. We didn't play badly in the first 15 minutes, just Burnley played pretty well. We just managed it much, much better.
For sure. And I think, to be fair, going into the game, I was expecting a bit more from Burnley, because this is a Burnley side who only lost one in the last eight, which for a team that's in 19th is really good. Like, as we know from being in the relegation zone years prior, but like, I don't know. I think Newcastle just turned into like a relegation grim reaper for these bottom teams. We've beat Forest away. I think the only one in the bottom four that we didn't beat was, I'm thinking, Everton, man. Mm-hmm. And Everton are way up the league. But no, hey ho, it's last couple of weeks beat Sheffield, relegated them, and I think we've put the nail in the coffin where Burnley's concerned. So for me, it's a really good result. Obviously, as mentioned prior, the first 15 minutes we managed really well, and it just seems to be a thing where we're struggling with it. But yeah, really good result for Newcastle.
We did lose at Luton before Christmas. It's nice that you've managed to forget that. I haven't, unfortunately.
I've repressed
as
that
hard
one.
As I try.
I've repressed that one. Yeah, it's not just the result, is it, though? It is, like you say, John, it's the performance. It was just complete from start to finish, and even sort of from before. So team selection and looking at that team sheet when it came out and thinking, oh, this is a really attacking side, this is class. And also looking at the team sheet and seeing a bench and being able to and thinking like, oh my god, like Joe Linton's on the bench, we're seeing these people come back from injury, Almiron's on the bench, Barnes is on the bench, like that is so positive. And we'll talk a little bit about what that's done for what that's done for our existing sort of squad players in the second part of this show. But it was just such a positive, it was just so positive to me. And I also quite like how we did set up differently tactically yesterday. We were in this kind of 4-4-2, and it was an incredibly like free-flowing kind of 4-4-2, and everybody, because even though it was different, I think everybody on the pitch sort of knew their role, knew what they were supposed to be doing, trusted who they were with, even with sort of Sean Longstaff on the pitch and things like that, which we'll talk about.
Careful.
There's no criticism about Longstaff here today. I don't know, tactically, I think we just got it spot on yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, 4-4-2 to me is an old hat formation that you don't expect many managers to revert to these days. You think when someone's reverting to 4-4-2, it's like they're running out of ideas. But yesterday it worked really well, like you say, Charlotte. Everyone seemed to knew their jobs, considering the fact we haven't really played that at all under Eddie Howe. And it's supposed to be predictable, but I don't think Burnley had any answer to what we were doing. And I thought the wingers were excellent. Obviously, Gordon's incredible. And, you know, with Southgate watching, I think there was a bit of extra spice. And that also seems to help Callum Wilson have the game of his career. But, like, it just set us up so comfortably for the entire game. And, yeah, I think what I found most pleasing is that at no point did Burnley get a foothold in the game. And we really dominated from start to finish. So, like, it's that perfect away game, isn't it, where you just kind of control it from start to finish. You get a goal every 20 minutes or so. You know, it wasn't like a all in one half or all in the space of 20 minutes like it was at Fulham. It was I wasn't there, obviously, but I'm jealous of anyone that was, because it was 90 minutes of just pure joy, because it just kept getting better. Yeah. And really, we scored four. We probably should have scored six or seven. I mean, the penalty as well. But even beyond that, Matt Ritchie has a really good chance. Livermore has a really good chance. We should have scored more.
Could have been 5-0 at halftime, to be fair. Rewatched the highlights this morning, and that was the kind of thing that stood out to me. There was a couple of times I was like, oh, is this one of the goals? No. And that happened a couple of times. And I think that says a lot about the way that we were set up yesterday. And again, it goes back to that ruthless bit, which, you know, I think, you know, we've looked at these fixtures and said, look, we need to go and win them. But not only that, we need to really have that momentum, because the next three games, they're the really tough, challenging ones. I'm sure we'll get onto that. But, you know, Brighton haven't been great this year, but, you know, going to Old Trafford, even though they're shit, that's going to be difficult. And then Brentford away, last day of the season, they're a little bit of a coin flip team. You don't know what team's going to show up. So, but if we perform like that in the last three games, like, Europe's ours.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and we'll certainly get into it. But I just I just think it was just such a positive, like, there's very little I can kind of add to it. Just such a positive performance, that such a positive way of setting up, such a positive performance. Kyle, the perfect away day, do you think it was a perfect away day, or can you not say perfect away day when you've gone to Burnley?
To be the ultimate to be the ultimate perfectionist, I'd say Matt Ritchie being Burnley's best player when he came on, passing the ball for a corner, which led to their goal. But other than that, really, which is kind of a nothing, it was a perfect away day because, to be honest, I was very pessimistic going into it, thinking, you know what, I'd take a draw. Like, because Burnley were in form and it's a massive game for them, and like, it was kind of do or die for them. And it just, like, because usually you like affiliate Burnley with like a tough away day, very rugged, hard to play against, but we just barred them 90 minutes, just completely dominated the game. And with our away form being as inconsistent as it has been over the course of the season, just to be able to enjoy an away day is it's nice. And obviously at the business end of the season where every point counts, definitely the perfect away day for sure. All positivity from me.
All positivity. I think that's, it's just, it's that end of season. What I like very much about it is we are still playing. We are still, you know, we could kind of say, okay, it's been a tough season. We're tired. It's been difficult. We're starting to get players back. We can just take it quite easy. We're not. We're absolutely demolishing these teams. And to your point earlier, being the grim reaper for some of them. And I really like that. I really like that intent. I really like that. Was it you that said he smelled blood?
Yeah,
Eddie
yeah.
Howe smelling blood. Like, it's very intentional. It feels very sending a message to me, not to me personally, but that's how it feels to me, that we are not taking this lightly. We want European football. We're going to do everything in our power to get it, and fingers crossed all the teams around us drop points.
Yeah. When we went out the FA Cup to Man City, Bruno came out and said, we've got 10 games to save the season. And that was a massive statement at the time about the fact that we've got to do something with these last 10 games. We can't just kind of end up on the beach. It was easy to think at that point the season was over. There was nothing to play for. And given that kind of the season before as well, we didn't finish particularly strongly. We did kind of tail off. It's important that we've done it the other way around here. We've had some bad spells this season, which means we can't have a tail off at the end of the season, and we're not doing that. We're finishing the strongest out of everyone. You know, we're the third best team on form going into this one. I don't know what the stat is this morning, but I presume it's better because we've won another game 4-1. But yeah, we seem to be finishing the season as strongly as possible, and hopefully that's by design. Yeah, you know, we're not just like randomly pulling up performances like Eddie Howe's told them. No, that this season is right at the final day. I mean, we could still finish fifth. It's a long shot, but that's how good it's been. And we're going to be sitting there on the end of the last day of the season thinking, if only we hadn't dropped points here, hadn't dropped points there. But I honestly think this is a really good sign of finishing the season strong, and probably, hopefully, convincing the likes of Bruno and Isak that there's something here to stay part of, because it just feels like it did last season again, doesn't it? We've suddenly got a bit of togetherness. We've got a bit of momentum and kind of enjoyment out of these games, whereas it's been so back and forward, up and down. And yes, I've quite enjoyed the roller coaster. It's been fun, but it's been quite tiresome having to go from buzzing one week to devastated the next and over again. So to get some back-to-back wins again and to really feel like we're hitting some momentum is huge, and it's the perfect time to do it.
It's that consistency, I think, that we've been, you know, we talked about this at a live show that we did. Is inconsistency our identity now, because we have struggled with this up and down and this roller coaster of a season, and it feels like we're finally hitting some consistency. Of course, we've got a few more games to play, and one of them is away at Old Trafford, and I think that's probably our biggest game. Not of the season, obviously, but it's up there now, because it's a 6-pointer. It's absolutely massive in terms of where we finish and what we've got to look forward to next season, and how we appeal to both existing players and players that we might want to attract to Newcastle over the summer. So yeah, it's just massive. We'll end part one on any standouts. Obviously, there are lots of player standouts. We will get into that in part two. Basically, we want to talk about every single player on the pitch, but we won't. We won't have time for that. But any other standout moments or standout things about yesterday for anybody?
I think we were clinical. I know I said, you know, we could have been 5-0 up at half time, but you know, once you're 3-0 up away from home in the first half, it was that clinicalness, but it was also that ruthlessness that we've already talked about. So that for me is the standout, which is the way that we approached the game and demolished them, basically. very much a last season type of performance where we really showed what quality in the right times of the game. So, yeah, in terms of other things, I think going man for man against Burnley was like the perfect idea, because I know a couple of weeks ago we spoke about the wrong type of tactical setup at Crystal Palace and stuff like that. So for him to get it right yesterday really showed, and what quality showed on the pitch as well. So, yeah, fantastic for me.
Yeah, the ruthlessness is the main thing, isn't it? Yeah. It was very, very Eddie Howe of last season. It was getting 1-0 away from home and then going for like the jugular, not just sort of hanging on to a 1-2-0 lead. Every time we scored, we looked like we were going to get the next goal, and we looked like more intent on scoring the next goal.
Yeah.
At no point did we take the foot off the gas. And again, that's testament to the fact that these players know there's so much more to play for this season. Really encouraging.
Yeah, massive. And then, of course, being able to bring on players that we haven't seen or didn't expect to see for the rest of the season. And I'm specifically talking about Joe Linton there. That's massive for us for the rest of this season. And it fits exactly into that conversation about ruthlessness and nastiness, because he is one of our bigger, nastier players. Opposition players do not like playing against Joe Linton. He is massive, and he isn't afraid to get properly stuck in, and he's going to be huge for us in the next few games, particularly that Manchester United game. So for me, that was just, I'm so pleased he got some minutes on the pitch, and I'm really excited to see him. Maybe he's not going to start the next few, but he's obviously fit enough to play some of the games, and I think that'll make a difference for us. We'll leave part one there, I think, and get into those individuals in part two. Quick reminder from me, we are on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 per month for tons of additional content. Please do consider joining us there. We would love to have you. We'll be back after these.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Part two of the show, and we have to get into the players. They were class. They were all class. We're not going to talk about every single one, although off air we did discuss, could we? Could we get all 11 into this segment? We can't. That's one for the review show on Patreon, but... lots and lots of praise on social media and in all of our WhatsApp groups yesterday for Jacob Murphy. Kyle, take it away on Murphy.
Yeah, like as probably one of the bigger critics of Murphy, like whenever he starts, and it's like, but last couple of games he's been phenomenal, and yesterday he really took the game by the scruff of the neck. Mm. Like it's like, obviously I'm not digging out Almiron or anything like that, but just to be able to see a winger run towards the wing and cross the ball with effect and with purpose like Murphy did yesterday is nice to see, because we're used to cutting inside and passing back to Trippier and just fizzling out. But like, yeah, just that directness really put Burnley to the sword, and I think he got two assists, but he was a heavy hand in three. Because Isak takes the first shot and then Wilson puts it away for the first goal. So yeah, I just want to praise Murphy, because I just think the fullback who had to deal with him yesterday couldn't. It was just he flew past him on several occasions, and I think it just came down to the ruthlessness that we mentioned in part one. The epitome of that was Jacob Murphy yesterday with his amazing deliveries into the box. And yeah, we can't criticise Murphy when he plays bad, but I think when he plays well, the opposite effect needs to be there. And I think it's, what, 3 assists now? Maybe you could say 4 over the last 2 games. So he's really stood up in the business end of the season. So, yeah, for me, Murphy was phenomenal yesterday, and fair play to him.
I think the thing with Murphy as well is his quality's really improved. And I think his execution, I think under previous managers, I think there was a ceiling to where he could go, and Eddie Howe's just like torn that up and said, no, like, this is what you're capable of if you work at it. And I think he's worked really hard at his game, and some of the quality of some of the assists that he's given this season has been massive, and that's the biggest thing for me with Murphy. There has been that improvement. Is he as consistent as, you know, I don't know, a big 6 player, or however you want to term it? He isn't, but, you know, actually, I think his consistency is improving, and if he gets that, I think he's going to be really valuable, because I think going forward, this is someone I can see staying in the squad.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
And I think you're not going to get like a lot of money for Jacob Murphy as well as he's played for us, but he wants to play for Newcastle. So actually, if he'll quite happily play the role that he's asked to play, and we saw that at parts last season as well. So for me, I think he's quite valuable from that point of view, that we know that he can bring that quality at times.
Well, that's it. And especially with European football, we've learned this season that it can hammer your squad. So to have like a good squad player like Murphy to come in on a Thursday or a Wednesday, whenever we do play, I don't think it'll be Wednesday.
Definitely
Thursday, if not at all. But like for them European games, especially in December when the games really start to pick up in the league as well, you need players like that. And I think, yeah, Jacob Murphy was phenomenal yesterday, and he's proven over the past couple of games that he is still deserving of a part in the squad.
What I like about Murphy so much is his work rate and the fact that he sort of gets chucked anywhere. He's obviously more effective in that wing position. And I lament him being sort of played at the back. And we'll talk about our back four as well and how effective that was. But he just gets on with it. Okay, I'm in this position. I'm going to do the best I can. Maybe that's not my natural position. Maybe the best isn't quite good enough. But like you say, he's just such an important squad player. And he made the difference yesterday. He was so troublesome for Burnley, and all of our sort of front four really were troublesome for Burnley, and we'll talk about that. But he got himself into positions. He was making these runs. I think he looks fitter than he has in a while. He was certainly looked really fast yesterday, and that might be about Burnley being slow, but it also might be about him being fast. I just thought it was mint.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognise that in the world of PSR, I can't believe I was going to try and go a whole podcast without talking about PSR.
Unfortunately, you cannot, you have contractually.
You have to have a couple of squad players who make up the numbers, so to speak, and that's probably a discredit to him. But what I mean by that is you're always going to have a few utility players who aren't paid $100,000 a week, mm-hmm. who make up the squad, who you're going to rely on from time to time. We've had it over the years, but it's never been more important to have a couple of players like that. And in Longstaff and Murphy aren't as good technically as some of the players around them, but they're probably paid a lot less and contribute in work and everything else. You know, over the years we've had players like Danny Guthrie who were on a fraction of kind of the centre midfielders they were next to. It's the same principle. Players like Aaron Hughes, utility players who aren't the first name on the team sheet necessarily, but are really, really important to the squad. And we're always going to need players like that until we build a 100,000-seater super stadium and have a 25-man Man City squad. We need players like Jacob Murphy. And it's brilliant, and a massive credit to Eddie Howe that he's getting the kind of performances out of him that he has done, because I think most of us, like you, Kyle, tend to sort of think, oh God, Murphy again, like, is that the best we can do? But he keeps proving us wrong, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And to be fair, even Man City, like the Centurion squad, as great as that was, had Fabian Delph in it. Like, every team needs someone like that, so, you know.
And just really quickly, sorry, just something Longstaff mentioned in his Match of the Day interview yesterday is that actually the relationship between Longstaff, Murphy and Livramento is quite strong. And he was talking about how they like to play together and that the relationships are really good. So again, if you rip these players out, you ruin the dynamic of the squad overall. So you have to be really balanced about how you do that too.
Absolutely. And Murphy certainly established himself as sort of a personality, hasn't he? And all, by all accounts, he's a real sort of like club favourite, like squad favourite, just in terms of being friends with him and the sort of atmosphere that he brings to the changing room and to the training ground. So yeah, nothing but praise for Murphy, and there was a lot of praise for Longstaff as well yesterday, and you mentioned that he did his post-match interview there, and he scored a goal, and Simon's beaming. So
don't need to say anymore. He wasn't like a 10 out of 10, but much, much better from Longstaff. And you can tell he's getting his confidence back, and the goal helped with that as well. And to be part of a two-man midfield that controlled the game from start to finish, that's a massive credit to him, isn't it?
100%. We probably don't need to go too far into Longstaff. Doesn't sound right. we'll move on. I want to talk about Callum Wilson. I always want to talk about Callum Wilson, and I'm so happy that I get to talk about Callum Wilson now because he's back in the squad. But he's not just back in the squad, he's back scoring in the squad. I think I like Callum Wilson a lot because he's a very, very different kind of striker to Isak and what he offers us. I didn't really feel like we missed him because he's been out for quite a long time and Isak has been scoring and we've managed to get goals from, you know, Bruno scored a couple as well and things like that. So you sort of think, oh, we've got goals coming from elsewhere and Isak's the most important player, blah, blah, blah. And then Wilson's come back into the squad and particularly in the formation that we played yesterday. And it really was a proper two up front. Like we talked about it before the game and there was kind of a concern that Isak might drift out wide slightly because that is what he has done in the past. But they really were playing properly up front as a two. And what that meant was that like Callum Wilson can tap in the goal that Isak isn't able to get a foot on properly and or the keeper parries away. And I just loved it. I loved watching him yesterday. He is so annoying. He really pisses off I think from the start, from the whistle, I'm sure it was him that just went barreling into a Burnley player at the starting whistle. Just it's so intentional. It's so like, I'm here and I'm going to be really big and really annoying and you're going to get pissed off with me. And they do. And I really love that. I also think, you know, it's so funny. Wilson's come back into the squad and we've got Euros this summer and he obviously wants to be like, no, I'm fit and I can score goals. And Gareth Southgate was there yesterday. And I'm sure that he has one eye on that as well. And I love that competitiveness. I love that ambition. And a lot has been said, even by me, that Wilson's maybe a little bit on the older side and maybe he's starting to wind down. Doesn't look like he wants to wind down, does it?
No. Here's one for War Flags. Can we get a full-size Gareth Southgate mannequin into the Brighton game and just tell Wilson, look, he's here again. He's here, Callum. Because he's 100%,
here to see you.
100% ups his game. And you're right. Why not play for a place in that Euro squad? But you're right. He was such a nuisance to both the Burnley defenders, and I thought it was epitomised.
Sure,
that'll do. By the
typified,
typified. Yeah, we'll use that as well.
Okay,
typified by the second goal when you think, oh, it's going out of play, and Wilson goes and gets it back, cuts it back to Murphy, who then sets up Longstaff. But you know, I didn't think there was a goal there, and Wilson's kind of endeavour and hard work. He was like, nah, we're gonna get this ball back and we're gonna score. He was just something else. He looked like a really hungry kind of almost
rejuvenated,
but he was so much desire.
Yeah.
Against a crap team, let's face it, in Burnley. He could easily have just kind of drifted through the game and say, oh, this is easy, this. But no, he was working hard from start to finish, mm-hmm. and really, really making the point of, my career at Newcastle United is not finished. Mm-hmm. And that's it's a nice problem for Eddie Howe to have.
Well, a good Callum Wilson makes Isak better and a good Isak makes Wilson better. And I think that's the thing. They really push each other. And we saw that in the Amazon documentary as well, didn't we, at the end of that season. And I just think that the value of Wilson's really difficult want to look at. And again, don't want to talk about PSR and FFP, here we are.
Yeah. Kyle, it's your turn next.
You know, but if if the thing is, if a Premier League side comes in and offers 15, 20 million for Callum Wilson, that's going to be very difficult to turn down. And they are going to look at, well, you need to bring someone in to replace that. How do you replace his goals? Mm. And I think that's the thing. But then you've also got Anthony Gordon's point of the best kind of ability is availability. Mm. And you know, that's his Achilles heel. I don't know if he's had that injury, but you know,
not yet.
Feels like he's had every other injury. So that's the challenge, isn't it? You know, can he play? But when he does play, boy, was he good yesterday.
Yeah. And I think you raise a really interesting point there because we saw lots of players up their game a little bit yesterday. And we also saw that we had a bench, and I don't think those two are, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think as soon as you get a bench, as soon as players know that they're kind of fighting for their place a little bit, everybody's slightly like, you sort of sit up a little bit, don't you? And you sort of up your game. Again, Burnley aren't a good side. Burnley are going to get relegated. And I don't want to, you know, sit here and wax lyrical. It's not like we've beat Man City as comfortably as that. But just something about all the players' performances, really, particularly even Longstaff, Murphy, Wilson, like this competition, even though he's starting up front with this, like, there's still competition there and there's still ambition and there's still hunger. There's also a generosity to Wilson's game that that you've just touched on there, like finding the ball, getting it back to Murphy and setting it up for Longstaff. And he did it against Sheffield as well. I think he could have scored another goal, but he got it over to Isak for him. So I really like that as well. It's very much I'm Callum Wilson and I score goals, but it's still very team spirited. It's still very like, this is my team and I'm going to make sure that we're all firing on all cylinders as well. To round out part two, I know that we also want to talk about Dan Byrne, who was once again put in an absolutely phenomenal shift at centre back. Who wants to take it away on Dan Byrne, Kyle?
I'll start. I mean, again, it comes down to the amazing concept. When you play centre back, at centre back, he plays well.
Revolutionary.
Honestly though, like he seemed to be breaking up play in the midfield. I think two of the goals came from Dan Byrne pressing deep into Burnley's half and winning the ball back. So yeah, Dan Byrne, like, as we all know, like, as a centre back, he's very solid and he can offer something to the team. Just at left back, he's hideous. But I don't want to criticise him too much because he's been brilliant at centre back. But yeah. I think that's what you get with Dan Byrne. 100 games yesterday that he made for Newcastle. Big, like a big occasion for him to hit 100 games for his hometown club. So yeah, amazing. And I think he rounded that off with like a brilliant performance and didn't really get past him. I think he was on the line for Burnley's goal and it's like he went over him. If it's going over Dan Byrne, it's going over anybody, let's be honest.
Yeah, he did try and get ahead on it.
Yeah. But like, he was so solid. I think there was a tackle he made early in the game, which was so key. They were going to be one-on-one and Byrne makes that tackle. So yeah, he didn't have a great deal to do because we dominated the game so much, but in those moments, again, he really stood up. So yeah, fair play to him. And as someone who's probably criticised him a lot this season at left-back, for him to go to centre-back and really like prove that he's got a worth in the squad next season and stuff like that is brilliant. So his consistency in the centre of the park is definitely something that we can look forward to in the coming seasons.
He's definitely stepped up. I'm going to try and frame this in a different way without wanting to be harsh on him or Eddie Howe, because I thought, you know, he hasn't had many good games at left back this season, but last year he was left back all season in part of the best defence in the Premier League. So I understand why Eddie Howe persisted with it. And he's third or maybe arguably fourth choice centre-half behind Botman, Cher and seemingly Lascelles. When Lascelles was fit, he was getting the nod at centre-back. So he's Eddie Howe's fourth choice centre-back for whatever reason. I think now he's probably third choice and definitely the preferred option over Lascelles for me. His size is one thing, you know, he's great in the air. But like you say, the main thing for yesterday was just closing down players left, right and centre. He was just coming out of position and just not letting Burnley players past him. You're right, I'd certainly remember the Bruno goal. He closes down one, they kind of drop it back one, and then he closes down the next player, wins it back, and then it goes to Gordon, who then eventually...
Just size, just vast. Massive
6'9" bloke just coming towards you, and the Burnley players shit themselves every time. Like, that's what he should be doing. He's using his physicality, he's using his size to dominate attacking teams. And yeah, it's one of the best games he's had for us, but that form's been coming over the last few weeks. He's certainly looked more and more settled, and he's our only fit centre-half at the moment, so long may that continue. Yeah. But yeah, I just think it's been a difficult one for Eddie Howe this season. Botman missing so much of it, and even when he was back, he wasn't right. Lascelles came in, did a really good job, actually, for a period before kind of fizzling out and then getting injured. So it's been hard to find a place for Dan Byrne in this team, who tries so hard and always gives everything. And yeah, he's been found out at left back a little bit. Perhaps he's lost another little bit of pace because he's the wrong side of 30. And teams have started to work that out. But before that, he was you know, absolutely by on merit the number one left back as well. And it's been such a journey for him. He keeps reinventing himself. You know, he reinvented himself as a left back because that's what we needed at the time.
Yeah.
He's reinventing himself as a centre half, which sounds silly, but he's become that kind of dominant force. And massive credit to him. You can tell everything playing for Newcastle means everything to him. And yeah, he's just getting 110% of him every game.
Sorry, go on. I was just saying, much to your point, like that third goal doesn't happen without Dan Burn and doing that press. And the fact that he's got that confidence to still push forward, despite the fact he's a centre-half, and sometimes you'd be thinking, oh God, he's going to have to get back in a position. How is he going to manage it? But no, I think he's been really solid. As you say, I think since he's gone into that position, there's been very little shift in him. I think only a fit Sven Botman displaces him in that position now.
Speaks to his character as well, doesn't it? That he has had some tough games this season and a lot of criticism online, and some of it justified and some of it hyperbolic. But it's just, he loves playing for Newcastle and he loves doing the best that he can, and happily the best that he can was absolutely mint yesterday. So I'm very glad that we can talk so positively about him. We'll leave it there for part two. We'll be back after these messages. Please do consider joining us on Patreon if you hate them. They're not there. They're not on Patreon. So join us there. We'll be back in for part three and talk about the future in just a moment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Part three of the show, and we need to talk about our form. So I touched on it there. This is 5 wins from 7. We have scored 19 goals, most home league goals, 26 goals more than Man United. This is momentum, is it not? Surely we are the favourites. I think we are the favourites now for 6th place finish in the Premier League this season. And then some people have started talking about 5th, which is kind of lovely, but maybe a pipe dream. Spurs are only 4 points ahead, but of course they have a game in hand. But they have been Spursing. They have been Spursing and lost a few of their games. We've also got to go to Old Trafford and hopefully win that one. But it does. It looks like 6th place. How important is that to you, Si? Just talk about it for me.
We've talked about it quite a bit this season, and whether or not Europa League or Europa Conference would mean anything. I think it wasn't. I'm not bothered. If we'd finished 7th this season and end up in the Conference, I would have been perfectly happy. And I think we've had a great season, and we've had to come up against a lot of adversity. And whatever the outcome, I'm happy. And you know, it's just a long way away. When these last three games mean something about finishing 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th, I think 9th is the lowest we can finish now, but that would be unlikely now. It's nice than having 40 points on the board and thinking, what's the point of these last 6 games or whatever. So you know, I've always been a bit more glass half full this season when things have been a bit funny. I think it's really important, though, for what I mentioned earlier in the show about Bruno, about Isak, about Botman. These players want to play for a proper European contender. So Europa League is a much more prestigious competition. I think finishing 6th means we're finishing above the likes of Man United and Chelsea, and that's the pack we're supposed to be competing with. So we should be finishing above some of them if we're trying to be one of those teams longer term. We can't just finish outside of that group every time. So 100%, 5th.
It's not inconceivable.
If Spurs didn't have Sheffield and Burnley still to play, you'd think it's more of a chance. I think they lose today at Liverpool, and you know that shortens the gap. But I don't know. You, stranger things have happened than relegated teams just randomly picking up points against Spurs. I mean, we did it under Rafa, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that would mean us winning our last 3 games as well. It just seems a bit much. But 6 is definitely, I think we're 100% the favourites. I don't know if we are with the bookies, but we should be. Because yeah, Man United, I think they've got a very good chance of dropping points at Palace. Palace played very well against us. You know, if they did that to us, they should be able to do the same to Man United. Watch them just roll over, obviously, because I've said that. But yeah, Man United still have to go to Brighton. And they, you know, they have
Arsenal at home as
well. They've got Arsenal, so I think that they, by the time we play them, I think we'll just need to draw at Old Trafford. We just need to not lose that game, which is absolutely in our gift. I mean, I think we can go there and win, yeah, especially with all the players that have come back. Like you say, Joe Linton back in the team for that is huge.
Massive.
Nick Pope, hopefully back by then, is huge. I really do think sixth place is on the cards, and I think that's enough to satisfy Bruno, to satisfy Isak, that there's still a project here and that we can kick on next season. So, yeah, I mean, if we somehow manage to be our own worst enemy and fuck up these last three games and finish outside of the top seven, which is still possible too, that would be a disaster. But I honestly don't think that's where we're headed. I think the momentum is there now. I think the confidence is there. And I think the players understand the mission like they did last season. You know, when finishing fourth went down to the last two games, our form wasn't great at the end of the season. This time around, I think the lads know what they're doing, and they're going to get us over the line, so to speak.
I think the other thing with Man United away that you have to remember is that we went there in October with Crafton Dummett at the back and Tino on the overlap, you know, and we were sensational that night. We were absolutely, you know, and that was a second string side that turned up. And Man United didn't play a weak side that night. Yeah. I mean, I was watching it with my mates and we all looked at it at the sides and they both said to me, we're going to get absolutely pummeled here, like just with the sides that put out. But, you know, what we showed is that we're capable of playing our football, turning up and scoring goals. And we did that and we dominated them. So I think in terms of how we've set ourselves up for the season, we're massively on an upward trajectory. Man United, it's an absolute mess there. They still haven't got their sporting director in. Don't know how
well,
that's
they drew
happening.
That Burnley side.
Well, yeah, that's it, exactly. Yeah. Who were shocking.
It's amazing to me that they are where they are. Whenever I've watched Man United this season, I'm like, how are you above us? Like, that's embarrassing.
Same last season.
Yeah, just terrible.
Just an absolute miracle. Like, they just seem to be pulling it out of the bag out of nowhere. But
so in terms of sort of finishing sixth and then going into next season, Kyle, how important is it that we just like, you know, go into next season like a train off the back of this momentum?
Well, we managed to do it a couple of seasons ago where we ended the season really strongly and then carried it through into the next season. Mm. So that's something that we're all familiar with at the team. But I think, as Si mentioned before, we have had adversity this season. We've had the worst injury crisis I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Even though we're like, oh, we've got a bench and we've still got a defensive injury crisis going on. We've only got one fit centre-back. And it's still ongoing, but despite the adversity and everything that we've went through this season, sixth is such a an achievement. Mm. Like,
it does make you think, doesn't it? What if we hadn't?
If we hadn't, would have been with Villa for sure, at least. Like, and this is like what many perceive to be like a frustrating season. Like the amount of times we've lost and being like, oh, Eddie Howe should go. Like, not us, but like you see sections on social media and stuff like that where it's like, oh, Howe's out with the ideas, and it's just like, we've had the worst injury crisis I've ever seen, and we're sixth. We've beat Sunderland, we've beaten the San Siro, we've beat PSG at home, and then the semi-final of the Champions League. We've had one hell of a season.
I
with
can't
a lot
believe
of
that was this season. That,
like, it's been a proper mad season, but you can look back with some amazing moments throughout, and if we get European football from it, and you see the likes of Isak, Bruno, Botman, all these types of players being like, yeah, there's a project here, and we can really carry forward. If sixth is what is considered a bad season, now imagine if we have a good season next season where we could end up.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? You've given me goosebumps, Kyle. Follow you into war. But it's true, isn't it? Like, this is, we talked about it throughout this show, about this intention and this sort of, we're not at the beach, we're not just relaxed because the end of the season will be okay. It's not going to be a disaster. We're fighting for a European spot. Yeah, it's not going to be Champions League football, but it's going to be Europa League or the Conference. And both of those are good competitions. Like, both of those are going to give us experience about that kind of like travel, of playing extra games, of, you know, random teams coming to St. James's Park.
Revenue,
very important one. Kyle, you still haven't mentioned PSR, but it's okay.
PSR.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Revenue, yeah, that's a massive, it's massive, but it's so big in terms of, you know, convincing players to stay and convincing players to come as well. We are going to need to strengthen in the summer. Players will come back from injury, but what this season has exposed is where we need reinforcement and where we need to focus our efforts in the summer. So, but I just think we're ending this season on such a high. And I do believe that the next three games are going to be good. I think you look at the squad, you look at who's coming back, you look at the performances that we've put in, you look at the form table, and I can't see why they wouldn't be good. Our last three games wouldn't be brilliant, and we're not going to pick up quite a lot of points from them. So I'm excited, and I think going into next season, it's important that we keep this momentum going.
Yeah, I think I had a chance to reflect this morning because we scored another four goals. I was like, my God, I've never known a season where we score four goals in this many games. We just keep scoring, and we're third in goals now. Only Arsenal and Man City have scored more than us, which is understandable because they're both cut above the rest of the league. But 78 goals in a season where Wilson's basically missed all of it.
Right.
Isak's missed 12 or 13 games. Barnes was brought in as a goal scorer. He's missed like most of the season. Willock, plenty of goals last season. Not available pretty much all season. Joe Linton, massive chunk of the season. We've scored a record number of goals in a season where half our attacking threat has been injured for like at least half the season. Imagine what it's going to be like if like you say, Kyle, if we have all those lads back next season, we don't get ravaged by injury. We're unstoppable. We literally are one of the best teams in the league for scoring goals. And yeah, maybe there's some work to be done on shoring up the defence in midfield, but my God, there's so much to be excited about with this team. And yeah, I think, like you say, with all those lads back, basically, and certainly the attacking ones, bar Joe Willock, we look like we can finish really strongly. And 100%, Kyle, like we did two seasons ago, the momentum's there to take into next season.
Super exciting. We'll leave it there, I think, for the podcast. Loads more to talk about, loads more positivity. We will be taking this positive vibe into our live show at the Stand on Monday, the 20th of May, to celebrate the end of the season. Hopefully Europa League, at least Conference League, and really kind of dissect and make sense of a season in which we beat PSG. We've had a crazy injury crisis, and yet we still might secure European football. Absolutely class. We'll be back throughout the week, in fact, with more podcasts for you. If you are desperate to hear more, please do join us on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 per month. We would love to have you there. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mags £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.